Welcome back. Hey, it's Annette Harris, your certified mental health ambassador and host of this podcast, Mind Mending in the Net, distributed by Get Caught in a Net Incorporated. We want you to think of this experience as a net for your mind to mend. And if this is your first time joining us, we thank you in advance for listening and for sharing your own thoughts on this particular podcast. And we do encourage you, if you have not done so already, please make sure that you subscribe to Mind Mending in the Net. You can look for us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast shows. And before we go further, we have to recite my mantra, which is, everything starts in the mind. All right, guys, we're just going to jump right in because this is part two of our discussion on how to overcome bereavement discomfort in order to help the bereaved. And you will hear further from my guest, Brandy McCord. If you did not listen to the first part of this series, I do encourage you to go back and listen to it and then come back to this part two. There will be a part three as well. Again, take a listen to this topic discussion on how to overcome bereavement discomfort in order to help the bereaved. What you're really saying when you say the things is basically, I don't want to be brought down, you know, by your grief, your bereavement, all this sadness that you're going through. That's yeah. really, in essence, you know, what you say they're saying. Now, I will say this. I mean, everybody is different and their responses are different to certain situations. And, you know, some people really, really mean well. But you, I asked you personally, you know, why you felt to make that comment, you know, about what, you know, how you've responded before. Mm-hmm. And then even, you know, I'm just going to throw this in here. Even when you mentioned about, you know, the praying, you know, because we can type all day. I can find all kind of memes and gifts online.
They're already ready for us.
Yes, they're already ready for that. You know, somebody say pray. You put up a pray and, you know, emoji or whatever. And it's standard. It's like, you know, you're just kind of going through the motion. You know, more or less. But like you said, if you would stop, I'm learning that too. I'm learning that more and more and more. If somebody says pray, like I was looking at someone's post on earlier today, and I think I had mentioned it to you. And I said, okay, when I saw it, I immediately stopped and I prayed, you know, for their loved one. And I said, I want to do that more and more. And I've been trying to make that more, not a habit, but more of, you know, like the words say, you know, be doers of the words. I want to do it and not just say it, you know, because I believe that's what's going to help, you know, the individuals, because we may not know exactly what to do. We may not know exactly what to say. You know, to someone who's just lost a loved one, going through their grieving process. And, but prayer is always in order.
Real prayer, not tight.
Yes.
Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and pray, please.
Yeah. Yeah, stop, drop. I like that. Stop, drop, and pray. You know what? your last comments kind of... I was looking over an article, and the title of this article, get this, it says, Overcome Bereavement Discomfort. Then you can support others.
Come on now.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is so appropriate. So I'm going to kind of reference in here some things because, you know, you mentioned, you know, if you don't know exactly what to do, then maybe you can ask the individual, what can I do for you? So, you know, we can kind of maybe talk. And I want to ask you about some points in here and see if you kind of agree with these points. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, even with this particular episode, we just want to see if we can kind of help, you know, ourselves and others and how we, you know, respond to someone who is grieving. And you know what? The grieving process, it started out with five, I think it's like seven now, whatever, different stages. But we already said everybody goes through differently. But, you know, the grieving process is not only regarding death, the death of you know, a physical body. You know, grieving process could be the death of a relationship, divorce, or, you know, it could, that grieving process can, you know, we can use it for anything that we're actually grieving. And I just wanted to throw that in there. But we all know that, you know, talking about death can be kind of difficult. We've already said that earlier in this particular podcast. But there are some different steps that can kind of help us individuals who are a little discomforted, you know, with even talking about it. Because, you know, what this episode says, Brandy, to me, is that, and you mentioned you're doing some self-examination, but it also says that I really do want to be a help to an individual if I can, but how can I do that? So there are some steps. It says, okay, so first and foremost, we have to be real with ourselves. And it says here that we need to consider where our discomfort comes from. Mm-hmm. Where does it originate? Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of whether maybe we've experienced death and maybe that hit us so hard. So when our friend or a close associate or whatever is experiencing death as well, it's like, maybe I don't even want to deal with that. Because some people, they don't even go to the services, you know, or something like that because they just can't handle it.
Right.
So would you agree with that first step?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. If I wasn't already self-reflecting,
yeah,
that would have hit me. I don't know if I'd be able to continue this session.
Right.
like my hand hit my chest like, oh, my God.
Really? Yeah. I always say the quickest way to get help is to admit you need it. So sometimes we have to look kind of within and see why is this so uncomfortable to me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Consider where your discomfort comes from. And then you can also address it. This is still within that first step. But then, you know, when you consider where it comes from or find out where it comes from, then you can address it.
Yes.
And that will in turn allow you to help someone else, you know, dealing with their grief. Okay, so it has here the next step is follow a simple listening strategy when you're talking to the bereaved.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
I want to hear more of that.
Yeah. So there are four guidelines you can follow up, you know, with this. So it says when you're talking with the bereaved, and I don't know why I chuckled a little bit because I think I do this myself. It says avoid problem solving, at least immediately.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I know myself. I will immediately try to resolve something or, you know, see, oh, maybe you could resolve it this way, you know. But this says at least immediately try to avoid that. Because you're always, and it's like you're always trying to take, you know, everybody on your own shoulders and, you know, take on their distress as well. But
yeah.
Sometimes that bereaved person, they just want to be listened to and just understood. Not necessarily for you to help them resolve it, you know, at that point. So sometimes just listening to them. That can help. And it's crazy because I'm on both sides of this, you know, I'm one who would try to be a problem solver, but then I'm also one like, okay, can you just listen to me?
Yeah.
And just let me get it out.
Let me finish. Let me finish at least getting it all out.
Yeah, definitely. But then, you know, the key is, I don't know what you think about this. There is a sentence here that says bereavement is not necessarily a problem to be fixed.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
It's a process.
Yeah.
And how are you going to fix it anyway? Are you going to bring them back to life?
Exactly.
Are you going to run the clock back? Are you going to bring me back my losses? Are you going to recover my losses? Yeah. It's a process that somebody has to go through it. And if you try to stop it or retard it, that's going to cause problems elsewhere.
That's good. That's good right there. Yeah. And that's I don't know what you call it. Is that a law of something? What you just said? But no, that's good stuff. I was trying to think of if it was. But anyway, I was thinking when my loved one passed away in January. I mean, I literally, my heart was just so hurt for the spouse. And it was, I had to deal with them, you know, to help with the services and everything. But when I literally tell you, it's just my heart, it was like a piece of my heart just kept breaking every time I thought about it. Because in my mind, I'm like, I can't bring him back.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what you would, you know, if you had any kind of powers or whatever.
Right. That's what you would do.
That's what I would do. But then, you know, I had to get to the point, just like that statement says, bereavement is not a problem that can be fixed. I can't fix it.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I just found myself just like, you know, mourning, of course, with her. But yeah, that's some deep stuff right there. Okay, so then another guideline that it says we can follow in terms of listening with the bereaved is, it says gently gather information.
Okay.
So one way to promote active listening skills is to approach a bereavement conversation with the sole intention of compassionately gathering information about a person's experiences.
Not being nosy.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Girl, how did he die?
Oh, that's the worst.
Nothing makes me cringe more than that. Let's say you posted on Facebook, oh, I'm sorry, I just want to announce the passing of my blah, 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 blah. If you could give our family your prayers, but give us space. Girl, how did he die? Excuse me, who are you?
Right.
First of all, you know, it's just.
But it's sometimes it's people that you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they still want to know. Because, like, I don't want to be telling off nobody. Well, I'm not saying no names. But anyway.
But if you know me, reach out to me.
Right.
If you know me, if we know each other well enough, then it shouldn't be a problem for you to reach out to me now.
Right.
Private. Because maybe I don't want their death to be posted on. Maybe I don't want to post the reasons why they died on Facebook.
Yeah.
First of all, that's your business. Think about that. That should be the first question. Right. Is it your business?
Mm-hmm.
Have we spoken in the last month? Have we spoken in the last 6 months? If I haven't spoken to you in a year, is it your business how he died?
Right.
Is your comfort of me and your well wishes, is it predicated on how that person died?
Yeah. But you know what I think it is? I think sometimes we go back up to that being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, because if somebody maybe has an inclination, maybe say an individual had been sick, maybe they had been dealing with, we'll just say cancer or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, but you don't know for sure if that's what they died from. And then you maybe, you know, the word spreads or whatever, individuals find out that individual has passed away. And one individual may have dealt with cancer before. You know what I mean? And so then they maybe just be uncomfortable thinking, oh man, maybe they died of cancer. And, you know, dealt with it before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Still, there's a way to do it.
Oh yeah, there's a way.
That is privileged information. And to automatically feel like you have a right to know, before, you know, worry about me first. They dead. They're gone. I say it like that. There's nothing you could do. However they die. So worry about me now. Worry about comforting me. And then maybe I will feel the, you know, the unction to tell you. But if not, just worry about me now.
Yeah. I would totally agree. Yeah. But, you know, I think you mentioned it. I think the very first thing is it's not necessarily your business. If it wasn't shared, then why go, you know, further into it?
Exactly.
Like you say, if you're not close to them or what have you. I mean, I would even say sometimes if you are close to them and they haven't shared it with you, leave it alone. Because there's a reason why they didn't share.
I understand the curiosity. I have it every time someone says someone close to them died. Even if we're not close, it's natural to feel curiosity. But the thing is, I'm not here to my situation is not here to entertain you. It's not here to be that was an interesting piece of information. They died from cancer. Now, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not to feed your interest or your curiosity. I'm dealing with this is my life. Mm-hmm. The loss of them, however they die, it's my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So worry about me and realize it's not necessarily your business how they die.
Exactly.
Unless you are related. My husband, if he passed, God forbid, oh Lord, if Joe passed before me, I told him we're going together. So whatever needs to happen to organize that, we're going together because I can't live without you. You can't live without me. But however, if something happened where he passed suddenly, I expect his family to say, what happened?
Right.
I expect a certain group, church, I expect them, but just first think about me, please.
Yeah.
Before I have to answer to you and give you details. I may not want to talk about the details.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about me, please.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. I like that. Worry about me. I'm still here. You know.
Right.
That's interesting. And you know, I think, and I'm so glad that I actually pulled up this article because it's so much in this and I know I keep referencing this death that I experienced at the beginning of the year, but this is so relatable to it. There was, and I'll just say how important gently gathering information is. There was an individual who had learned of the death. They actually went to the funeral and they were berating the widow. Like basically saying, oh, we were there to support the widow and she didn't even speak to us. And she acted like she was, you know, so far away. I said, whoa, wait a minute.
She was emotionally and mentally far away and had to drag herself from the depths to even be there.
That's girl, it right there. That's it right there. And I literally had to stop them to tell them that because I'm thinking to myself, here is an individual who has been with one person for almost, 50 years, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Just like that. Without...
And you heard about me greeting you.
Thank you. And so if they would... So basically I had to gather the information and give it to them. You know, basically you have to look at it in this sense. You can't just automatically assume that, you know, just because they saw you, maybe their mind was a million miles away at that point when they saw you. You just never know.
I've had that happen to me on a couple of occasions. I have. It was like, even when I greeted them, I could have easily taken it as, well, dang, I traveled, because I did. I traveled about an hour, took off work to come and you can't even greet me. And then I have to stop and say, now this was pre self-reflection, but this was just, I have to stop and say, this person, they even did see me and didn't feel like speaking, which wasn't the case.
Right.
But let's say they did, so what?
Yeah.
You can't give them, you can't take the L this time. You can't, your self-importance is so all-encompassing that this person just lost someone and you can't give them that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. They are so far from you. They're dealing with a life-altering loss. Then they have to deal with you all. Then they have to deal with planning. Then they have to deal with burial. Then they have to deal with funds to pay for it. Do I have the funds? Mm-hmm. Then they have to deal with all the family fighting them because of their planning of this funeral. Did they do the right thing? Y'all ain't gave me a dime, but y'all fighting over who's in the, you know, and all this. And then they deal with all the people coming in.
Exactly.
So ask yourself, where do I fall in this? And do I even, I'm just a blip on the radar of everything they have to deal with.
Right.
Who's that important? Who feels that they're that important to be acknowledged? I want to know who you are. That's what I want to know.
Me too. I want to know too. But everybody thinks they're, you know, they have to have, you know, people, which is his next point, validate them.
Yeah, exactly. If you that important, you know you that important, and you don't need me to stop at my funeral, take the time, bring you up on stage.
Right.
Oh, by the way, who cares? Yeah. Who are you? Nobody. My husband just died. You are nobody right now.
Right.
You are nobody and nothing.
Yeah. As you can see, as we go through this untouched subject of how to overcome bereavement, discomfort while you're supporting others, we get really passionate about it. We are probably saying things that you have thought of as you have gone through your bereavement process. But you know, we have to look within. Are we patient? Are we careful? Are we accepting of the reactions and actions of those who are grieving? I hope that this series is doing something to help you change your mentality of how you handle the bereaved. Stay tuned, there is a part 3 coming up. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. And please, if you have any questions or comments regarding this series or any other episodes that you may listen to, go ahead and email me at mindmendinginthenet@gmail.com. The name of the podcast, mindmendinginthenet@gmail.com. And if you have not done so already, I do encourage you to please make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Tell someone else about it. You can look for us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast shows. Mind Mending in the Net, where everything starts in the mind. See you in the next episode.